Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of Saint Jerome, and in various paintings, Jerome sometimes holds a large rock, a symbol of mortification. Having received a fine education in the classics in Rome, he was baptized. He moved from Rome to different places before settling in a Bethlehem cave out of an intense devotion to Christ's life. He studied Hebrew in penance for temptations. Think of that. The greatest fruit of his lifelong study and writing was the Vulgate, the popular Latin translation of the Bible commissioned by Pope Damasus. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, Jerome wrote. He died in 420, and he's one of the four great Latin fathers. So that's his feast today. Blessed indeed is he who ponders the law of the Lord day and night. He will yield his fruit in due season. And Jerome certainly did. But let's take a look at the first reading now, chapter 9 of the book of Job, verses 1 to 12, and then 14 to 16. Job answered his friends and said, I know well that it is so, but how can a man be justified before God? Should one wish to contend with him, he could not answer him once in a thousand times. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has withstood him and remained unscathed? He removes the mountains before they know it. He overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and the pillars beneath it tremble. He commands the sun, and it rises not. He seals up the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens. He treads upon the crests of the sea. He made the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He does great things past finding out, marvelous things beyond reckoning. Should he come near me, I see him not. Should he pass by, I am not aware of him. Should he seize me forcibly, who can say nay? Who can say to him, what are you doing? How much less shall I give him any answer or choose out arguments against him? Even though I were right, I could not answer him, but should rather beg for what was due me. If I appealed to him and he answered my call, I could not believe that he would hearken to my words. Do we think that God hears us? Do we think that God hears our words? Do you know he does? And you say, that's impossible. You think of the millions of people across the world, many of them praying. He hears you. He hears your voice. He knows you, and he loves you. And so Psalm 88 tells us, let my prayer come before you, Lord. You can't see him, but he is there. And he hears every word of every prayer you pray. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Open your hearts to him. Daily I call upon you, Lord. To you I stretch out my hands. Will you work wonders for the dead? Will the shades arise to give you thanks? Do they declare your mercy in the grave? Your faithfulness among those who have perished? Are your wonders made known in the darkness? Or your justice in the land of oblivion? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. With my morning prayer, I wait upon you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me? Why hide me from your face? Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we've cried out to the Lord, and we don't get an answer. We don't seem to. Keep praying. Just keep praying. God has a reason for his timing. He has a reason. We don't know that. We don't know what it is, but if you pray sincerely and honestly to God, he hears you, and in his perfect time, he will answer you. But pray to him daily. Pray and ask him, even if it's in part asking for the same thing that you've been asking for a year, and it still hasn't been answered. Ask the Lord, Lord, is my intention right? And if it isn't, he'll in some way let you know. But if your intention is right, God knows the perfect timing. We don't. We think we do, but we don't. Wait upon him. Be faithful to him. Pray every day to him. He will hear your prayer. It will be answered in his time, not ours, unfortunately. But that's the way it is of the human condition. So the gospel for today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." And Jesus answered him, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, let me put it this way. Our first priority is to follow God. To care for our parents, yes, absolutely. To care for our friends and our relatives, yes, absolutely. But God first. Give God time first. In every day, give a certain time to God. And then perhaps I just heard myself and I thought, there are times when you're the caretaker and you're there 24/7, it feels like, caring for that person. God can hear you. Offer your work as your prayer. Only in that kind of a situation, but offer your work for another. Offer for your desire to care for another as part of your prayer to God. Ask the Lord to encourage you and to strengthen you and to help you, and he will. But if you are a regular person going to your job or you are at home working at home, take a chunk of time for prayer. You decide the time, but take time every day to talk to him. He loves you, and he wants to hear from you. Let me look again at the gospel. It says in about the middle of the gospel of Luke there, "And to another he said, 'Follow me.' But he replied, 'Lord, let me go first and bury my father.' But he answered him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" He doesn't mean to drop your father off somewhere and hope that somebody buries him. No, of course your call is to care for your family, but put God first. Even if you are burying your father, get down on your knees and ask God to bless you and to bless your father. Ask God to care for your mother. Ask God to care for your children. Do that first, and then go and care for the person that you're responsible for. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you dearly. Dearly. You cannot, none of us can actually imagine how much we're loved. We can't. He's the source of all love, and he's given it to you and to me. And his love does not run out. He loves us. That love means that he wants the best thing for us. He wants us cared for. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to love him and to be with him in heaven. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. Pay attention to God's word. Saint Jerome said this, "O desert of Christ burgeoning with flowers, O solitude in which these stones are produced, of which in the apocalypse the city of the great king is constructed, O wilderness that rejoices in intimacy with God. Do you fear poverty? But Christ calls the poor blessed. Are you afraid to work, but no athlete is crowned without exertion? Are you thinking of food, but faith perceives not famine? Do you dread bruising on the ground, your limbs made lean by fasting? But the Lord lies at your side. Does the unkempt hair of a neglected head cause you to shudder? But Christ is your head. Does the boundless expanse of the wasteland terrify you? Then do you walk in paradise in your imagination? As often as you ascend thither in thought, so often shall you not be in the desert. Is your skin made scabrous without baths? People then did not have easy access to baths. Is your skin made scabrous without baths? But he who is once washed in Christ need not wash again. We have been baptized in Christ. We have been washed clean. Are we faithful to him? That's our part. He sees us every moment of every day. He knows us. He is God. He can do that. And he loves us. So he's very attentive to what we do. Brothers and sisters, have you ever really taken time to just sit before the Lord and say, Lord, why do you love me so much? I'm a sinner. I'm weak. I'm poor. I make mistakes. And the Lord looks at us and says, come to me. Come to me. Draw closer to me. He doesn't say, get out of my sight. Whether those sins be mortal, whether they may be what we call venial sins, whatever they are, come to him. Let him bring you to the confession. Confess your sins. Don't carry them. The sins you carry can, in one sense, not block out the Lord. He can invade anything, but it places a covering on us in a way that God wants to draw so close to us. But if we're filled with sin, we need to be forgiven first. Then ask him to draw close to us. He will draw close to us, but he cannot impart everything if the block is serious sin. We're all guilty of little sins, but the big sins. Ask God's forgiveness and then draw to him. He loves you. I keep saying that, but it's just the truth. And I want you to get it into your head. He will never reject you. He will never turn away from you as long as you bring him your sin. Really, he will not reject you. He will not turn away from you. He will give you help. I pray for all my listeners every day. I want you to know that. I do pray for you, that you might draw closer and closer to God, no matter what the past. Confession can wipe that out. That's how generous God is. Just acknowledging and confessing our sin, God will give us forgiveness and a new life. Every one of us, turn to him and know the love of God. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.